Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about feelings. And I don't know how you, and it goes along well with what Stephen said, where he said that Paul was praying for the Jews, and he said that they had an enthusiasm for God, but that without knowledge. And so, you know, I thought that was just incredible how that sort of dovetails in with where we're headed today with the message. And we're going to look at several different passages. So if you have your Bible along with you, I'll reference the scripture as we go along, and you can jot it down or you can flip to it if you'd like. I'll try to give you time for that. But the first one we're going to look at in just a moment is Jeremiah 17:9. And we're not going to really camp out in one particular scripture passage today, but we're going to look at several different passages that have to do with the heart. So today I want you to think about your heart. We're going to talk about some heart issues today. And feelings is part of our, what we consider to be our heart. It's part of our identity. It's part of who we are. You know, and the crazy thing about feelings is they can be fleeting and they can be deceptive, and then they can lead us. They're powerful. Our emotions are very, very powerful. And so we're going to take a moment to just consider several different factors of that today. But the first thing I want to start with is just giving you sort of another example of what we mean when we talk about feelings. It's not always just emotion. You know, yesterday, all day, I kept feeling like today would be Monday. In my mind, all day throughout the day yesterday, I was thinking that I would wake up today and it would be Monday. And, you know, sometimes we have some things that just throw off our system. It gets us out of sync. I think maybe not being here last Sunday kind of threw my rhythm out in terms of, you know, I don't know about you, but our week, as chaotic as it is, there's still a rhythm. There's certain anchor things that we anchor our body clock, our calendar, internal calendar to, and that weekly reset of coming together and worshiping the Lord on the first day of the week is sort of just one small or one big component of that. So my days have been a little out of whack. And even this morning when I woke up, it didn't feel like Sunday morning. Can anybody relate to that? Okay. Can some of you are like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you know, I'm in tune every day. Okay. So some of us are not. And so, you know, I'm out there kind of floating around thinking, what day is it when I woke up this morning? And it's like, oh, it's Sunday. Wow, I felt like it was Monday. Thank God it was not Monday, but it's Sunday. So then that gave me something to look forward to. And I jumped out of bed and I was eager to be here with you guys this morning. And so we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But it didn't feel like Sunday, but it is. And there are times where maybe things don't feel a certain way, but that doesn't line up with reality. And that can hold true in many different areas of our life. You may feel like God doesn't see you, but He does. You may feel like God doesn't provide, but He's providing. Jehovah Jireh, a term you may have heard before, a name of God, is the one who sees, the all-seeing one. And it carries with it the connotation of He sees and responds. He sees and provides. So that name of God is associated with God's provision because He does see. He is aware. But you may feel like God doesn't see. You may feel like God doesn't care. You may feel like that God's hung you out to dry, but the reality is He's not. He has not. And He does see and He does care. And He does respond, and He works powerfully in our lives, but we're not always in tune with that, just like I wasn't in tune with the reality that today is indeed Sunday. You may have times where you don't feel like you're saved, but your salvation is not based on how you feel. It's based on the fact of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. So today we're going to sort of, I would say today would be facing our feelings, if I had to give you a title of the day. And we can't talk about everything related to our feelings, but we're going to talk about the reality of these feelings and how we can face them in our day-to-day lives. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's often been said to say, you know, you cannot trust your emotions. Some people would even say that emotions are bad, that we should suppress our emotions. But the reality is that God created us as emotional beings. Our emotions are not a bad thing. It's how we have been wired. It's how we're created. It's part of the way that we're created in the image of God, because not only did God create us with feelings and with emotion, but God affirms our feelings and He affirms our emotions. And God Himself is an emotional. God experiences emotion. The Scripture throughout speaks about God rejoicing, about God's love, about God's joy, also about God's righteous anger, and about God's jealousy, and all these attributes of God. When we look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, joy, self-control, all these things that the Lord outlines for us, God exhibits those qualities as well. And we see that most fully in Jesus, right? Jesus had compassion upon people. Jesus expressed His love. He expressed His joy. He expressed His frustration and His anger. So Jesus Himself expresses emotion. And so we should not suppress our emotions. We should not deny our emotions. We ought to recognize that that is part of the way that we have been created in God's image. But we have to recognize some of these warnings where Jeremiah here in 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." I believe what that tells us is when it speaks of the heart here, it's not just talking about our emotion. It's talking about our inner being, which includes our emotions, but it's also our thoughts, our desires, our intentions, our motivations, our morals, our identity. Jeremiah is saying everything about your inner being is deceitful. It's deceitfully wicked, because left to our own devices, we would not choose the goodness of God. It is by God's grace and God's power working within us that we have faith and that we have love and that we recognize that we love Him because He first loved us. And so everything that we're doing is in response to God's greatness and God's goodness. So Jeremiah here is saying that really though, your inner self will deceive you. That's why we must be Spirit-led and not led by ourselves. So listen, our feelings, however, when we think of our feelings, anxiety, anger, uneasiness, all these things, you might say that these are the indicator lights on the dashboard of our lives. So when we have feelings that arise, we need to respond. We don't need to ignore those feelings. Focus on the Family gives us some advice when they say when you are feeling emotions, there's three things that they tell us to do. I'll just give you those as kind of a side note, but they say name the emotion. Like, how are you feeling? Like Dr. Phil would say, how does that make you feel? Dr. Phil on Sesame Street, those of you who remember him, was a puppet that looked like Dr. Phil. And he would say, well, Michael, how does that make you feel? I'm putting my hand up like I'm talking with a puppet. How does that make you feel? So we need to, if we can name that emotion, if we identify it, then it helps us to face it. And that's the first part of facing our feelings. The second thing is managing the emotion. So we ask ourselves, what's going on? Like, what do I want? What's causing me to feel this way? And then from a biblical response, what do I do with this emotion? That's when it's a time for action. So that's the third thing that folks on the Family would tell you. Name the emotion, manage the emotion, and then make a choice. Make a choice to honor God with that emotion. And God's going to lead you in a response on how to act. And that act could have some very practical expressions. Maybe praying, reading the Scripture, going for a walk, listening to music that lifts you up, talking to a friend. So, you know, but we're not really wanting to get out a lot of self-help here today, but the reality is these are helpful things that allows us to face our feelings in that way. But more importantly, Proverbs 4:23, when it speaks of the heart, says, above all else, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. So in other words, there's an inner me. It's my mind. It's my spirit, my soul. And I need to guard that. The reason I need to guard that is because it is the wellspring of life. Everything I do flows out of who I am. And so let's think about what that means, where we're admonished here to, above all else, guard our heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my wife and I's life verse, this tells us, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Why does he say lean not on your own understanding? Because the heart is deceitful. Your own understanding, your own way of thinking things through, your own way that you feel about it can be deceptive and you can't trust it. But you should trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, acknowledge His authority in every area of your life. And He will direct your paths. Some translations say He will make your path straight. Now, what that means is God's going to take you to where God wants you to be, and He's going to put you on the best path to get there. Now, in my life, it doesn't always feel like a straight point, you know, straight line between two dots. Sometimes there's some wandering and meandering around. I think that has more to do with God working out and His will in my life, and He's cultivating my character to make me more like Jesus. But back to Jeremiah, where Jeremiah tells us that warning about our heart. Look at what he said. Look at what precedes that. And this whole Jeremiah chapter 17 would be worth you taking the time to meditate upon the whole chapter. But let's just back up a little bit in direct context. Jeremiah 17 verse 7 says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So look at that. That's a direct contrast between the wickedness of our heart and the unreliability of our heart and our emotions and our own figuring things out, our own processing of things often leads us astray. But when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, leaning not on that own understanding, acknowledging Him, we are trusting in the Lord, and He will make us like a tree planted by the water, sending out roots by the stream. Look, it does not fear when heat comes. The heat is going to come in your life. The challenge is going to come. The temperature is going to get turned up, and you don't have to fear. He says you'll be like a tree that always has green leaves. It says it has no worries in a year of drought. I'm going to tell you, when things seem to dry up, when it looks like God's not providing, how do you respond? Do you worry? Do you get anxious? Do you get stressed? Or do you take it to the Lord and allow Him to remove that worry? It says it never fails to bear fruit. That's a promise from God. If you're walking with Him, even during the valley of the shadow of death, you're bearing fruit. Matter of fact, the valley is a very fruitful place, right? So let's come back to where we are. We're looking at the heart. Jeremiah 17:9, he says the heart is deceitful. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Everything you do flows out of it. Trusting in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, with all your heart. Now, how do we guard our heart? There's a lot of ways, but I'm going to give you one critical way today. We guard our heart with truth. We guard our heart with truth. Truth will guard your heart. It will insulate it, and it will protect it. And so if we're to guard our heart because it's the wellspring of life, how do we do that in a practical sense? We live our life according to the truth. We walk in the truth. And where's the source of truth? It's God's word. It's God's word. It's truthful. It is reliable. It is dependable. When you live your life on the foundation of God's word, then you're guarding your heart. You're guarding your heart against worry, guarding your heart against anxiety, you're guarding your heart against all these emotions. They're not bad, but they seek to take over your life and control you and compel you. And so our emotions, they're like indicator lights. They let us, they alert us. They say, hey, something's going on here. But what do we do with that? How do we respond to that? We come to the truth of God's word. You know, so many times we just are so quick to think worst case scenario, or we just, our mind just races fast forward, and you know, we get some type of news or some type of information, and we've already planned out the next 10 or 15 years based upon what we've just been told, okay? And we've just got to guard against our emotions grabbing hold of us in that way. So listen, guard your heart by the truth of God's word. Romans 12, 2 says, be transformed, how? By the renewal of your mind. So this is a mind battle. It's a battle of our mind. It's a battle of our brain. And the enemy is fighting relentlessly, feeding you false information, feeding you false thoughts. The opposition is whispering thoughts into your mind that are not true. So how do you guard your heart? How do you not allow it to penetrate your heart? You guard yourself with the truth. And God's giving you the truth. Ephesians 6 says we've been outfitted for this battle, this spiritual battle. And so we have the belt of truth that holds everything together, but we also have the helmet of salvation. Because we are saved, because we are born again, God enables us to fight the enemy. And we have the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. So God's Word is part, a major part of the battle there, and is our source of truth. So I'm going to keep going here. 1 Peter 1:23. Take a second to turn to that. 1 Peter 1:23. I'll give you a hint if you're having a hard time finding it. It's before Revelation, but after Genesis. Okay? So that should help narrow it down. New Testament, after Matthew, after Hebrews, after James. You got 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Did I say? Yeah. It's before 2 Peter. So if you get to 2 Peter, go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I hope after all that, that I've got the right verse written down. Actually, I'm just going to read you the whole little context here of verse 22 through 25. He says, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, which, by the way, brings us back to John 8:32, where Jesus says, if you obey my commands, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. So he says, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth. So you could just write a little note there, referencing John 8:32. You are obeying the truth. So God, Jesus said that shows that you are his disciples. And he says that that's going to set you free. What's it going to set you free from? All these attacks of the enemy, and then also all these inner battles and inner struggles, sometimes driven by our feelings and our emotions. So he says, you are obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other. This is evidence of God's Holy Spirit within you. It's evidence of your salvation that you love one another. Because listen to me, church, some of us are hard to love. And by virtue of the fact that you love me, it shows that God's working in your heart to allow you to love others. Because without God, maybe we wouldn't be so loving. Love one another deeply from the heart, from your inner being. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. So our faith, you've been born again, you've been saved by grace through faith, and it is a result of God's Word, God's holy Word. And what's He tell us about God's Word? Does it change like our feelings? Does it shift like shifting sand? It says, He says, all people are like grass and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. But the grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So that's our foundation. That's our truth, is God's word. We're saved not because we feel saved. We're saved because of the reality of the truthfulness of God's word. Our future is secure. We don't have to worry about the future because our future is being held in His hand and it's working out in accordance to His Word. So His Word is vital for us. That is our source of truth. If our minds are going to be transformed, we're going to be transformed by the power of His Word. His power, His Word is living, it is enduring, it is imperishable. He makes an analogy here between human birth and human life, which is subject to death and decay, but then being the reborn according to God's Word, which is eternal and unchanging. It is true and it is transformative. When planted in a receptive heart, the Word of God produces new life. We become a new creation. In Jesus, all things are made new. Amen. Right? So you're a new creation. Born again. You actually love unlovable people. And we know that you're born again because of the great, sincere love that you have for one another. So, let me ask you a couple things. Let me make sure. There's so many other passages we could turn to. I want to leave you with a closing prayer in just a moment, and sort of in preparation for that, want to ask you, here's two notes. I want you to make note of these two things. If I change my thinking, my feelings will follow. So we're going to face our feelings. If you're feeling tired, if you're feeling weary, if you're feeling like God doesn't care, if you're feeling like you're at the end of your rope, or you're feeling anxiety, or you're feeling doubts, or you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling all these things, the battle is right here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's God's Word that brings that renewal. Take whatever the doubt is, whatever the lie is, and replace it with what God says. And so here's the thing, and here's the reason, and the practical result is that when I change my thinking, my feelings are going to follow. So we have to have correct thinking. It's just like what Stephen said, that they had enthusiasm, but it was without knowledge. So our faith and our lives are built upon the knowledge of God's Word. And we have to come back to the Word every day, each and every circumstance. We have to come back to the Word. I told you I was going to tell you two things about guarding your heart with truth. That was the first one. Change your thinking and your feelings will follow. And the second one is this: your heart will not rejoice in what your mind rejects as false. Your heart will not rejoice in what your mind rejects as false. And so sometimes we don't reject God's Word outright, but we live like we don't believe it. And so if we're doubting God's promises, and we're doubting God's Word, and we're failing to make direct application of God's Word to our daily living, you're not going to be able to rejoice because you're not really grounded in the Word. And so we've got this. That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved. That's why we can't just base our beliefs on what we think or what we feel, but we've got to go to the source and we've got to dig deep. Guys, if you're wanting gold, if you're wanting jewels, you got to dig for those things. You don't just walk down the street and find gold laying around. You don't walk down the street and find rubies and emeralds and expensive, valuable things. You got to dig for those. You got to mine for those. And the same is true with life. If you really want to experience the fullness that maybe you might feel like is missing out in your life, you got to dig deep into God's word. And you got to be that tree that's roots are going down into his word. Because the God's word implanted in a receptive heart will bring transformation. He will transform your life. He will produce new life within you. Psalm, told you I wanted to close with a kind of a prayer today. It's going to be out of Psalm 139, which is near the end of the Psalms. Remember this, if I correct my thinking, my feelings will follow. Now, what if I had just gone with my feelings today? What if I had just went with my feelings? When I woke up this morning, I wouldn't be here. Exactly. I wouldn't be here. What if I thought it was Monday? I would have hit the ground running and I would have gotten up. I would have done some work. I would have, you know, just started into a Monday routine. All you guys would be sitting here wondering who's going to preach. Stephen would be having to fill in for me. I'd be getting text messages. Where are you? What if I just ignore that? I'm getting messages. Hey, it's Sunday. Where are you? It just don't feel like Sunday. Can't be Sunday. Doesn't feel like it. What if I went with the idea that I thought it was Saturday? Oh, I probably would have slept in, gotten up, gotten a nice cup of coffee, might have washed the car. I mean, who knows? I would have done Saturday things. But there would be consequences, right? And when we allow our feelings to dictate how we live, there's consequences. When we fail to live our life based on the solid, firm foundation of our Lord and Savior and His Word to us, we miss out on things. I would miss out on the joy of being here with you all. I would miss out on Isaiah harassing me a little bit earlier when I came in. I would miss out on the joy of the fellowship and the smiling faces and the friendship that I have here and the opportunity to open up God's Word. I would miss out. And so I had to confront how I felt. I had to face my feelings. And that allowed me to grab hold of reality. So I've got to do the same thing spiritually. I got to trust the Lord with all my heart and trust His Word. Not trust how I feel, not trust my own reasoning, my own doubts, my own insecurity. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. This is the same passage, by the way, that says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." That is Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. And then it is concluded here. David concludes the psalm with verses 23 and 24. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart." Let's pray this to the Lord today. Let this be your prayer. Search me, God, know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. So let's go to God with that prayer this morning, asking Him to expose the reality in our lives and in our heart. Told you today I want to talk to you about the heart. So let's just take a moment and ask the Lord to search our heart and to reveal anything that is hindering our walk with Him. And then the first step toward getting on the right path would be just confessing that reality and turning from those thoughts, turning from those feelings, turning to God and trusting Him fully. So we invite you to do that today. Beth is going to come up and she's going to lead us in this hymn. He leadeth me. It's going to be on page 690. So in just a moment, we'll stand for that. You know, this is all about God's comfort as He is leading us through life. That even in death, that God is leading us homeward bound toward Him. So take a step toward God today, whatever that might look like in your life. Have a moment where you, if God's speaking to you, have a moment today where you respond to Him and through commitment. And if you'd like anybody to pray with you, I'm here to pray with you. If you want to come forward, you can. But more importantly, just seek the Lord right where you are and ask Him to speak to you and then respond accordingly. So let's all stand together. I will pray for us and then Beth's going to lead us. Thank you, God, for your word today. And I pray, Lord, as we've looked at these different passages about our hearts, God, I pray that our heart would be drawn closer to you, that we'd be made more like Jesus as a result of being gathered together today. God, you tell us in Isaiah 55, I believe it is, that your word will not return to you void. It will accomplish that for which you have sent it out. And so as your word works in our hearts, God, I pray that our hearts would be rich, fertile soil, that we would receive your word. And then, God, we would obey it and we would make whatever adjustments necessary to be in right relationship with you today. God, thank you that you saved us by your grace and you continue to work out your perfect plan in our ministry, in our church, and in our lives together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we invite you to come today as you feel led.